So hello everyone, thank you very much for inviting me to speak here tonight, and it's great to join you, and I'd like to congratulate Philip and his team and the panel on getting the report done in such turbulent times. So there's a lot for us to welcome in this report, but now the dust has settled, we are looking at the devil in the detail, and there are a few things that will be concerning for my members. But to start off on a positive, let's talk about maintenance grants. Students and students' unions have not stopped campaigning for their reinstatement since it's been taken away from us. It's really a victory for students that they have been put back on the agenda by the review. In particular, welcome that they should be increased with inflation, which is something that hasn't been done for some years. The second thing we would like to welcome is something particularly close to my heart. You lot know it. Further education. I come from a further education background, and I know personally what further education can do day in and day out up and down the country for many students. And I'm really happy that the review has recognised this by recommending a £1 billion cash injection into this sector for workforce development for our talented workforce, but also under-resourced staff. So this is really exciting. When you add this to the recommendations that will benefit social mobility and upskill learners, like lifting the age cap on receiving free level free tuition, then you can see why I'm really excited that the sector is receiving the world recognition that it deserves. But now to the more difficult bit. We are all here because we know and we value education. And everyone in this room has a different educational background. If you look around you, I bet at least some of us in this room took what is now considered a low-value degree. If you look at the average graduate's earnings, your subject attracts, not where you are now. So let me get real. We can't talk about social mobility and widening participation on one hand if we spend the rest of the time telling people off for studying qualifications that might not come with the highest earning salaries. And let's talk about exactly who is meant to fund this rebalance of the education system. The review recommends a complex series of changes to student loan repayments. But if they're all introduced at the same time, then it stands to give the highest earning graduate a break, and they will end up paying back less than they would have done before. The people who pay back the most, and according to London's Economics, who I'm sure everyone in this room would have read about this piece today, are the middle-earning women. Now, come on. In our society, women already bear the brunt for so many things. Let's not add the cost of higher education for the sector to that too. And there's a simple solution to this, which I've always been clever about. Although I think it's out of Philip's hands and definitely in the government's hands, if the government chooses to, it can put more money into education, it can be funded by progressive taxation, and it can shift the cost of education into the taxes of the rich in society. This is just a set of recommendations at the moment. The real work starts about getting them implemented and to challenge those we are uncomfortable with from this very moment. My presidency is nearly over. And I've always been clear that I've wanted to break down the barriers to education for my students, not only to get in, but to... No, this is the wrong sector. Get on. Ain't you read my poverty commission? Get in, get on. No? Okay. I'm going to send it all to you, don't worry. There's a lot of work to be done on this report, but let's be clear. NUS and students' unions have been leading the fight to fight for maintenance rights, fair funding, and for an education system in which everyone thrives. And before I go, I just want to go off the record because I really need to talk about further education on this agenda. I have been really, really ticked off with the media coverage that we faced last week, and not further education wasn't at the forefront of this. Now, let me just say something. Who in over the last 2 years has had some encounters with me? Can you put your hand up? Whether it's over the phone, I don't know who these people are. I'm going to have to check you lot out. I'm sure I know you, though. You look familiar. Okay. So the thing is I haven't come from anywhere. I never used to speak like this. I never used to act like this. My education has saved my life. Further education has saved my life. And sometimes, I love the HE sector, even though my heart is at FE, but sometimes when you're so used to getting, you forget the, like, you're, it's about recognising privilege. We talk about recognising privilege when we talk about equality and diversity, but we need to recognise privilege. I would like every Vice-Chancellor, every person in this HE sector to tweet a tweet in solidarity of the recommendations that have come out of this report for further education. It's not about taking from Peter to pay Paul, but if we believe in a truly accessible education system, I am not the be-all and end-all. Don't think because Shakira Martin made it working class black girl from the ends that we've saved it. I want to see more Shakiras coming down. They're on your campuses, they're on your doorsteps. And if you, as a sector, don't recognise the parity of esteem and parity of resource to get a true, liberated, accessible education, then why are we here? Drop mic.